partially populated this morning. And Rob, would you just open us in a word of prayer?
Certainly. Lord, we are just thankful to have this opportunity to come together and just read and study your word. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll just bless us with the teaching that Larry is about to present. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll just be with us throughout the service as Pastor Josh comes and ministers to us. And we just pray for just a joyful time of just learning more about you and fellowshipping together. And it's in Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. Well, this morning we're going to continue a study that we began a few weeks ago. We were talking about six separate and distinct ministries of Christ that we find in the Bible. And the purpose of this study is to better understand the whole person of our Savior, to get a better understanding of the whole person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's my belief that a good portion of Christendom today always have a tendency to start with Christ as the baby Jesus. Many people start with him as the baby Jesus, and then they become fixated almost entirely on his earthly ministry to the Jews, and then they tend to end his ministry at the cross, and they don't see the whole person and the whole ministry of the eternal Son of God. When we stratify the Bible, so to speak, we can see that our Lord is much more than the baby Jesus and the Jesus Christ that walked the earth. When we stratify the Bible, we can see his work throughout Scripture, from the very beginning in Genesis to the very end in Revelation and every point in between. The eternal Son of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is indeed the centerpiece of Scripture, and he is, in fact, the very theme that runs throughout the entire Bible. When people make those statements, when we finish this study, you're going to see that the Bible is all about Christ. Let's start by doing a little review for those of you who weren't here for the last session when we talked about this. And also we'll need to refresh the memories of those of us who were here. We began by establishing three premises for this study. Now, a premise is defined as something that is assumed or taken for granted. So we start with three premises. The first premise is that everybody understands that God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we often refer to this as the triune Godhead, or simply the Trinity. The second premise that we need to establish is that we understand that while all things come from God the Father, they also come through God the Son, and they come by the means of the Holy Spirit. So let's keep that in mind. All things are from God the Father, through God the Son, by the means of the Holy Spirit. Now, the third premise that we need to establish is that each person of the Godhead is equally important and equally precious. All three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all equally important. I say that because this morning's study is primarily about the ministries of Christ, and our focus on Christ by no means and in no way diminishes the importance of the Father or the Holy Spirit, because they are all equally important and equally precious. God the Father has brought all things through God the Son, or as we know him today, our ascended and glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul confirms this when he wrote to the Corinthians. He was writing about idolatry and eating food that has been sacrificed to idols. But let's turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's start right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I will read verses 5 and 6 for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Before I go any further, I want to just point out to you that we are going to be spending a significant amount of time this morning with scriptural evidence for Christ as the Creator and showing from Scripture that all things indeed come through Him. Now, going back to our last session, and I'm reviewing that for you, we identified six separate and distinct ministries of Christ. And let's take a look at them again briefly. The first ministry we talked about is Christ, the Creator of all things. God the Son was the Creator of the world and everything in it. Next, we talked about Christ as the Sustainer of all things. He is the Sustainer of all creations. In other words, He holds all things together. Christ, the Sustainer of all things. Thirdly, was the ministry of the pre-incarnate Christ. God the Son appeared manifest throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and He appeared in different forms and in different ways, and those are known generally as Christophanies, or sometimes they're referred to as Theophanies. We'll be talking about those a little later. The fourth ministry that we discussed is the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. When God the Son humbled Himself and became the incarnate God-man, Jesus Christ, He was born under the law of Moses. He lived a sinless life under the law. He ministered to the nation of Israel under the law. And He died under the curse of the law. And He did all this to fulfill prophecy. And the account of this ministry, this earthly ministry, is found in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The fifth ministry is the heavenly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was not foretold anywhere in Scripture. It was a secret kept in God's mind since before creation. After He was resurrected, ascended, and glorified, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, began a brand new ministry as the head of the body of Christ. This ministry began with the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and he is continuing this ministry to us right now, this very minute. And he is building his church for today. Now this church that he is building today is called the body of Christ in Scripture. And the account of this heavenly ministry is found only in the 13 letters that were written by the Apostle Paul. Now the sixth and the final ministry that we discussed is a ministry which hasn't begun. We're talking about His second coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, after He completes His body of Christ, He's going to rapture that church, take us out of this world, and meet us in the air. And after the great tribulation is over that we all have read about, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. We call this the second coming. And this is a future ministry which has not yet begun. He's going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to establish His millennial earthly kingdom. We learn all about that in Revelation chapters 19 and 20. We'll touch on that a little more later on. Now that's a very brief summary of the six ministries of Christ that we find in Scripture that we talked about in the first session of this study. Now, again, let me remind you that every one of these ministries are separate and distinct. They're all separate and distinct ministries. And as we study through the Bible, we can literally see them unfold, and each ministry unfolds in due time to perfectly support God's wonderful and perfect plan for the world. Now, during the last session, which was about a month ago, in fact, it was the day that Donnie Brown was our guest pastor here, we talked about the first three ministries in a little more detail. We talked about Christ, the creator of all things, Christ, the sustainer of all things, and the pre-incarnate ministry of Christ in the Old Testament. So let me take a few minutes now and sort of review these first three ministries to you. First, looking at Christ, the creator of all things. Now, I'll ask you now to please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And this is a review of what we talked about a few weeks ago. John chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to read for you John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. Okay? Now let's turn to Genesis 1. Some of you may remember we did this the last time, but this is for a refresher. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 3. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. I'll read that for you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now we've already read in John 1, verse 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. So here in Genesis 1, verse 3, we have the Word of God speaking creation into existence. We see all three persons of the Godhead we can see right here in the first three verses of Genesis 1. We see God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, as a side note, when we read on through the creation account in Genesis, we learn that the world was created in six literal days. And this was validated when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11. I'll read that. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." Now, if you would turn just a few pages forward to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, verse 17. Exodus 31, 17, and this time the Lord was speaking to Moses about observing the Sabbath. And I'll read verse 17. "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He abstained from work and rested." So there we find scriptural evidence for a literal six-day creation. So, okay, let's refocus on Christ as the Creator and how all things come through Him. We're going to look at several more examples of scriptural evidence that Christ was indeed the Creator. This is very important to understand, because this ministry as Creator is literally His foundational ministry in Scripture, and it sets the stage for us to understand the supremacy of Christ in all things. He is above all things. So going back to John 1, verse 3 now, John said, I'll just read this for you. John said, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." And then a little further along in John 1, verse 10, John wrote, the world was made through him. The world was made through him. Now let's take a look at Psalms 33. Psalms 33, verse 6. Psalms 33:6. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to go through several passages to really nail down the scriptural evidence that all things came through Christ. Psalms 33, verse 6. The psalmist says here, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 1:2 says this. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. Hebrews 1, verse 2 says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Also in Hebrews 11:3, I'll read that for you. Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command or God's word, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And I'd like to read that in the King James Version, that particular passage, Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the Word of God spoke creation into existence, and it was created from nothing. Creation was created from nothing and spoken into existence by the Word of God. And we learn from John that the Word of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to Colossians now, chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, 16. And this is where the Apostle Paul is explaining that Christ is supreme above all things. Colossians 1, verse 16. I'll read that. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Now just keep your finger right there in Colossians 1 just for a moment. And I'd just like to remind you again that this is the Word of God. The Word of God who created all things. And this Word of God is the same person of the Godhead that we know today as our risen, ascended, and glorified Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of going through all of these passages. Now, when we put all this together, we can see that in the beginning, just as Moses wrote in the first chapter of Genesis, and just as John wrote to us, some 1,500 years later in the first chapter of John, in the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the eternal Word of God. So, let's set aside our Lord's ministry for creation right now, and we'll focus for a moment on his ministry of sustaining the creation. Hopefully, you kept your fingers in Colossians 1. We'll look at Colossians 1, verse 17 now. Colossians 1, 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The Word of God is the sustainer of all creation. In other words, our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is presently seated at the right hand of God in heaven, our Savior is holding all things together. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, and we'll look at some more scriptural evidence that our Lord is sustaining all things. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. The King James Version says this. It says, upholding all things by the word of His power. When the word of God spoke to Job, He spoke to Job in four whole chapters, in Job 38 through 41, He made it abundantly clear that He is in complete control of all of His creation and all of His creatures. In Job 38, verse 4, I'll read that for you. In Job 38, verse 4, the Lord said to Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? He went on to say in verse 36, who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? It was the pre-incarnate Christ who revealed all these things to Job when He spoke to him out of the tempest. Now, as I shared with you during the last study, scientists are continually baffled by the fact that atoms and subatomic particles actually hold together and don't simply fly apart. They don't know really what holds them all together. Science can't figure it out. So they usually refer to it as just atomic glue. Of course, we know from reading Scripture and studying the Bible that it's the Word of God that holds all those subatomic particles together. It's all held together by the Word of God. It's not rocket science. It's the Word of God. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. We're still talking about how the Lord holds all things together. Revelation 20, verse 11. And here is at the we're at the white throne, the great white throne judgment. And I'll read this passage. It says, then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from His presence, and there was no place for them. Well, I believe this is the point in time where our Lord is going to stop sustaining. He's going to stop holding together the heavens and earth as we know them now. That's the way I understand that passage. And we also know that immediately following the judgment at the great white throne in Revelation 21, we learn that the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem are all part of a new creation. The new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem just seem to appear out of nowhere. It's similar to what I imagine it must have been like when the Word of God spoke the world into creation in the first place. In the beginning of Genesis. But it's comforting to know as we await our blessed hope, as we're here day by day, to me it's comforting to know that we can rest in the assurance that it is our Lord who is holding all things together. And He's going to hold all things together until it's time to stop holding them together. Okay, let's move on now and take a look at some of His appearances in Scripture as the pre-incarnate Christ. We'll look at a few of the instances where the Lord appeared as the pre-incarnate Christ throughout the Old Testament. As I mentioned, they're sometimes referred to as theophanies, but they're most often called Christophanies. For the purpose of this study, let me give you a definition of Christophany. A Christophany is defined as a manifestation of the second person of the triune Godhead in the Bible that is tangible to human senses. In other words, a Christophany is an occasion in the Bible where the Word of God has made Himself known to man in a form whether he is either seen or heard or both by a human being. The Word of God, which is also the pre-incarnate Christ, is the agency within the Godhead that was used throughout history and throughout Scripture. It was the Word of God which was used to reveal God to man. Well, how do we know that these appearances were made by the Word of God as the pre-incarnate Christ? How do we know it was Him and not God the Father or God the Holy Spirit? Well, I believe that Scripture makes it clear that God the Father is invisible. We talked about this the last time. Let's go to John 1, verse 18. Back to John. John 1, 18. And we're looking at scriptural evidence that God the Father is invisible. John 1, verse 18 says this. It says, "No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known." Now, if we go a few pages forward to John 6, verse 46, John 6, 46, John 6, 46 says, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only He has seen the Father." And again, I'll read this one for you. Back in Colossians 1:15, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, "He," that is Christ, "He is the image of the invisible God." The invisible God, the firstborn. The firstborn over all creation. So God is invisible. And we also know that the Holy Spirit, by His very nature, is invisible. The Hebrew word ruach and the Greek word pneuma are both words that mean air, wind, breath, or spirit. Now, it follows that if the first and third person of the triune Godhead are invisible, then it's appropriate that the second person of the Godhead would be the member who reveals God to man. The eternal Son of God, the Word of God, the second person of the Godhead, is the agency within the Trinity that reveals God to mankind. And He does this by communicating both audibly and visibly in different ways. He's done this throughout Scripture. Christophanies, as we mentioned, are often associated with the angel of the Lord. When you read about the angel of the Lord, it's a good bet that we're reading about the pre-incarnate Christ, as he literally nurtured Israel along the way throughout the Old Testament. But He didn't always appear as the angel of the Lord. Let's look quickly at Hebrews. Go to Hebrews, the very first verse of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1:1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways." Okay, now let's keep that passage in mind. Last month, and we're still reviewing the last session we did on this, last month we discussed three Christophanies in Scripture, or three appearances of the pre-incarnate Christ. We talked about when the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar in Genesis 16. We talked about when Jacob wrestled with God in Genesis 32. And we also discussed when Joshua met the commander of the Lord's army, or the captain of the Lord's army, in Joshua 5. Those were all appearances of the pre-incarnate Christ. Let me give you a few more examples now of Christophanies in Scripture, and I'll read these out to you. You don't need to turn there, but if anybody would like to have copies of these verses, just see me afterwards. I'll be happy to give them to you. But the Lord appeared to Moses as the burning bush in Exodus, Exodus 3, verses 2 through 17, he was the burning bush. He was the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud in Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. He appeared to Moses and Joshua as a pillar of cloud at the tent of meeting in Deuteronomy 31, verses 14 and 15. And again in Numbers 12, verse 5, he appeared as a pillar of cloud at the tent of meeting. He answered Job out of the tempest and spoke at great length to Job in chapters 38 through 42 of Job. He was the rock in the wilderness in Numbers 20, verse 11. The Apostle Paul speaks of this rock in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul said, "They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. There's many other instances of Christophanies occurring throughout the Old Testament, and it would really make an interesting study in itself. You could just study that for several sessions. But let me go on now to the fourth ministry of Christ in the Scripture. And this is when God the Son humbled himself and became the incarnate God-man Jesus Christ. He conducted his earthly ministry to the nation Israel during this ministry, and most importantly, he completed his work on the cross. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with these passages. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. This is where the Apostle Paul tells us that we should imitate the humility of Christ. Beginning in verse 5, I will read that. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." We're going to talk a little more about the God-man Jesus Christ's ministry to Israel a little later on. After Christ finished his earthly ministry to Israel, Israel was temporarily set aside because they rejected him as their Messiah. God set Israel aside temporarily, but his ministry to the nation of Israel will be resumed in the future. He will minister to them from heaven during the Great Tribulation. But right now, Israel has been set aside, and so is his ministry to them. We'll discuss his earthly ministry a little more in detail a little later on. Let's move on to the fifth ministry of Christ that we find in Scripture, and that's the ministry that's in progress at this very moment. It's his heavenly ministry. And it was revealed through the Apostle Paul as a mystery. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2, 7. "This heavenly ministry that the Lord is conducting at this very moment was kept a secret in God's mind from the beginning, from before the foundations of the world, and it was never revealed anywhere in the Old Testament or through the four Gospels. It's only revealed through the Apostle Paul." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, Paul says this. He says, "We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began." And again, I'll read this to you in Ephesians 3, 6. Paul wrote this. Ephesians 3, 6, "The mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." Now, as the resurrected, ascended, and glorified Lord Jesus Christ today, the eternal Son of God is now ministering to us as the head of the body of Christ. This is His current heavenly ministry today. He's carrying out this ministry this very moment. He's building His church for today. And this church is called the body of Christ in Scripture. It's very important to separate this ministry from His ministry to the nation Israel when He walked the earth as the God-man Jesus Christ. This is a separate and distinct ministry. All of these ministries are separate and distinct as we move through the Bible. Let's turn to Colossians 1 again. Colossians 1, verses 18 and 19. It's important that we grasp the distinctness of His present ministry. I'm going to read Colossians 1, 18 and 19. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now what a wonderful truth for us as members of the body of Christ today. And let me just say this. I believe that the failure to see the distinctions between the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ through the 12 apostles and the heavenly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ today that He revealed to the world through the Apostle Paul, I think the failure to see those differences is the source of most of the confusion and most of the erroneous teaching that we hear today and we see throughout Christendom. It's just imperative that we separate the teachings of the earthly ministry to the nation Israel from His present ministry and His teachings through the Apostle Paul to the church, the body of Christ today. His earthly ministry was under the law, and His heavenly ministry today is under grace. I've got a few points I'd like to make about that. I watched a DVD that's put out by Pastor Paul Sadler called What It Means to Be a Grace Believer. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that. It's very good. And as I watched this, I made some notes. And I'm going to go over those notes, some points that Pastor Sadler made about the contrast between Christ's earthly ministry to the Jews and His heavenly ministry today through the Apostle Paul and the writings of the Apostle Paul to the body of Christ. So I'll go down a few of these points with you, and I'll say again, His earthly ministry was under the law, His heavenly ministry is under grace. The 12 apostles during His earthly ministry were called from the earth. The Apostle Paul was called from heaven. The 12 apostles represented Israel. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. During His earthly ministry, Christ was referred to as the King of Israel in John 1:49. Today He is referred to as the head of the body. The head of the body of Christ in Colossians 1:18. Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6 tells His disciples to go only to the lost sheep of Israel. To go only to the lost sheep of Israel. 1 Corinthians 14:37 refers to Paul's writings as the commands of Christ. I might add that the writings and the preachings and teachings of the Apostle Paul are directly from the ascended and glorified Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the writings of Paul, we're reading the commands of Christ. The theme of Christ's earthly ministry is the coming kingdom. The theme of his heavenly ministry to us today is the gospel of the grace of God. The 12 apostles were given the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. But today, our grace commission is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 20. We've been given God's ministry of reconciliation, a totally different commission from what the 12 were given in Matthew 28. During his earthly ministry to the Jews, Christ spoke openly about his second coming, the Olivet Discourse and all of that. The rapture was a secret. It was a secret that was kept in God's mind, and it was only revealed through the Apostle Paul. We read about the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, and also in Thessalonians. Beth, which chapter in Thessalonians we read about?
14-17.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14-17. Thank you. The number 12 represents perfection of governmental authority in Scripture, and this number is found throughout the four gospel accounts during Christ's earthly ministry to the Jews. But our Lord's heavenly ministry through the Apostle Paul is filled with the number one. One apostle, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so on. Now the number one in Scripture represents unity. And specifically it represents the unity of the Spirit. And so it is with our Lord's heavenly ministry. It is the unity of the members of one body of Christ. And that's a unity that we cannot make for ourselves. We can't do it ourselves, no matter what we try to do. This is all done for us in Christ. It is made for us in Christ. Now, those are some very, very distinct contrasts between the two ministries at hand here. His earthly ministry to the nation of Israel that we read about in the four Gospels under the law of Moses, and his heavenly ministry to us today that we find only in the 13 epistles written by the Apostle Paul, where the Lord revealed his heavenly ministry to us today. And it is just absolutely imperative that we keep those two ministries separate and distinct from each other. Okay, let's move on to the last ministry that we're going to discuss this morning. The last ministry of our Lord in Scripture hasn't begun yet. We're talking about when the body of Christ has been completed, his church has been raptured, and the great tribulation is over, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to the earth. He's going to come back. We call this his second coming, and he's going to come back to establish his millennial kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is his future prophetic ministry, and it's going to be fulfilled in due time. We don't know when that's going to be, but it'll be in due time, on his time, for his perfect plan. Let's turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation 19:11. Revelation 19:11, and I will read verses 11 through 16. And this is where John wrote about our Lord's return to the earth. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now this is the wonderful account in Scripture of our Lord's second coming to this earth to establish his millennial kingdom. And let me say again that this is a future prophetic ministry that has not begun yet. There's much confusion, I believe, in Christendom today also. A lot of teaching, a lot of view towards our Lord that he is presently serving as the king. People are trying to build the kingdom on and on and on. Much of the music, the contemporary Christian music, is centered around the king. But this is in the future. When you look at Scripture and take it in its proper context, this is a ministry that's going to take place in due time, but it's not taking place right now. Our Lord, at this moment, his ministry is as the head of the body of Christ, and he's ministering to us from heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, what does all of this mean? I've been thinking through this. I've told a couple of you that Tim Barrett and I just finished a six-month college course from Berean Bible Institute, and I had a notebook with at least 100 Bible studies all ready to be pulled out and presented. But the Lord put it on my heart to talk about this, and I had to go to work and do my own research. I was thinking about this lesson, and what do we learn from this? And here's what I think we can take away from all of this. When we look at God's precious Word, the Holy Bible, and we read through that from Genesis, from the beginning of Genesis, as we read through this, we see our Lord and Savior fulfilling these different, separate, and distinct ministries. And they're all separate and distinct. And they all complement each other, and it just carries us right through the Bible. And when you look at them like that, Christ the Creator, Christ the Sustainer of all things, and that carries all the way through. That's a horizontal ministry that he's continually doing. How he nurtured the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament period as the pre-incarnate Christ. How he came down and became man and taught, led a sinless life under the law, taught the nation of Israel under the law, prepared them to be able to enter into the kingdom, and he died under the curse of the law and his finished work on the cross. And then as the ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, how he unfolded his next ministry, which is separate and distinct, as the head of the body of Christ, and he revealed that through the Apostle Paul. We just see the Bible just unfolding, and we see the wonderful plan of God, and then we see the future ministry when he's going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To me, when you look at it and stratify the Bible in that perspective, we talk about the word of truth rightly divided. The Bible just rightly divides itself if you really step back and take a look at it. And so that's, I guess, the so what of all of this. We look at our commission as grace believers. We've been given a twofold commission. We find in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 20, that we've been given the commission to be the ministers of reconciliation and ambassadors for Christ, to reach out to the lost with the gospel of the grace of God. But in Ephesians 3, verse 9, we have a second part of our commission, and it says, I'll read it to you, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. There again, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So right there we have a second part of our commission, and that's to reach out to those who already know the Lord as their Savior but don't know the mystery. And I think maybe if we can sit down with our brothers and sisters who know the Lord but don't yet know the mystery of the word rightly divided, we can maybe discuss with them the different ministries of the Lord throughout the Bible, and perhaps the Holy Spirit would use that to open their minds and they could see it a little more clearly. After all, it does come down to the work of the Holy Spirit to illumine any of us to any of the truths of the Bible, and we just have to trust in Him. But that's what I had on my mind, and I believe the Lord put that on my heart to teach this lesson, because, as I said, I had at least 100 lessons all set and ready to go, but He told me to leave them alone and talk about this one. So that's all I had for right now. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to comment on? Paul?
Make sure this is on. This sheds some light on to also the idea of the back turning towards Moses and his request to see the God, and in the essence of the truth of what the Word says is that God is invisible in these Christophanies. The outcome of that then means to me that it is that was Christ. Is that an indication of some of the of what you're indicating?
Yeah, I believe so. I think one thing that we can all take away from this is we've heard these comments. Well, the Bible is all about Christ. Well, you know, it's all written about Him. You see Christ throughout Scripture. Well, it really is all about Him, every bit of it, from start to finish. He's throughout the whole Bible. And God wants it to be that way. It pleases God to have it that way. And it doesn't mean that He's any more, as I said, precious or more equal. That's just the way God set things up, God the Father. And I think that's one thing we can take away from this, is that the Bible, He truly is the centerpiece of all of Scripture.
He's His beloved Son, and whom He's well pleased.
He's well pleased, that's right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I'll just close this in prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we just would like to express our gratitude for this opportunity to gather together and freely worship together and to freely study Your precious Word and to just fellowship with each other and help each other along, and as we teach and learn together, we just grow more and more in Your precious Word, and we just thank You for all of that. And we pray for the remainder of this service today, and we just thank You for all Your blessings. And we pray this in the name of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.